If you have your Bibles with you, I'm gonna invite you to turn them to Luke chapter 15. This is a very famous story in the scriptures that many of us have heard before, but today I really believe God wants to speak to us in a special way through this story that Jesus told against the backdrop of some people who were basically complaining about who he was associating with. And, you know, oftentimes, people complained about Jesus. It's amazing. Jesus, the Savior of the world, came to rescue people, put them in a right relationship with God and build people up into all they were created to be. But people complained about Jesus. Oftentimes people complain about Jesus today. But here's what I want you to know. Jesus has your best interest in mind. Jesus wants you to make progress. Jesus wants you to increase. Jesus wants to provide for you. And Jesus wants to do amazing things in and through you if you will simply submit to him and begin to believe what he wants to do through your life. Come on, somebody. Your creator created you for a life of greatness. And oftentimes, many things get in the way of that greatness. Sometimes it's brokenness. Something happens to us in life and we feel broken and that we can never be put back together again and God could never use us to do amazing things. Oftentimes we're broken because of fear. Something happened and we're afraid to step by faith into the future with God. Oftentimes, you know, brokenness happens because of someone mistreated us or we were misunderstood and we become broken because, you know what, people have misunderstood us or mistreated us. Oftentimes brokenness comes because we did something. We stepped in the wrong direction and we have guilt and we have shame overriding our life and we won't move forward. Brokenness oftentimes causes people not to become better in the things that God wants them to become better in. And then oftentimes it's because of bitterness. People can't become better if they're bitter. Come on, somebody. And many, many times people are bitter towards life. They're bitter towards someone else. They feel like they have been mistreated and maybe somebody else has a little bit more than they do. Maybe they're jealous because God blessed a person in a special way and they don't understand why God didn't bless them in that same way. And bitterness begins to take over their life. And can I tell you something right now? Bitterness gets in your heart. It's like a root of poison and it'll destroy your life. But see, God don't want that bitterness in your heart. He wants to press that bitterness out of your heart and he wants you to come in right relationship with him. And he wants you to know that he has created you for a great purpose. God created you to reveal his glory and his image in this world. No matter whether you're a man, woman, boy, or girl, you were created by God and you were created for God and you were created for a significant purpose. Don't you let anyone tell you that you're lesser and don't you become bitter or jealous because of somebody else. Jesus told this story against the backdrop of some people who were basically complaining because he was associating with a certain group of people. And they were bitter and they didn't understand why Jesus would associate with some particular people because they were told they couldn't associate with these people. Because if they did, then possibly, you know what, they were gonna step out of God's will and he was gonna be angry with them. So let's look at the story. It's found in Luke chapter 15. Jesus told three stories about the reason he associates with people and we're gonna look at the third one. But this is what it says in Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. It says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. Come on, that sounds like the place that we worship in today. Some notorious sinners are up in this house today. Come on, somebody. And they come to hear what Jesus has to say. Jesus drew a diverse crowd. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law complain. that he was associating with such sinful people, even oftentimes eating with them, relaxing with them, dining with them. And they didn't understand why Jesus would enter into relationship with such sinful people, people who would continually miss the mark of God's glorious standard. And Jesus begins to answer them with three stories. One's about some lost sheep. One's about a lady losing a piece of silver. And the third one is about two sons. And Jesus reveals why he basically come into the world and why he chooses to associate with all kinds of people. It begins in Luke 15, verse 11. The Bible says this, to illustrate this point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. Everybody say two, which represents two different groups of people. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and he moved to a distant land. There he wasted all his money on wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept across the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs, they looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, everybody say senses. The Bible says he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I'm dying of hunger. How many of you know sometimes we have to come to the end of ourselves before we can come to God and God can reach in and begin to elevate us? This young man is broken. The father had given him his inheritance, had given him great wealth, but he went and he wasted that wealth away, and he finds himself in a famine, and he finds himself with no one caring that he was starving to death in a famine. He finds himself not able to really get a good job, but he found a job feeding the pigs in the pen, and the food he was even feeding the pigs, it looked good to him. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever been kind of hungry for some pig food, but you know what? That would mean that you had gotten to the end of yourself, because you would begin to believe that, you know what, that maybe even what the pigs are eating would be good enough for me. And the writer here records his story about Jesus and said this man got to the end of himself. So he says this in verse 18. He says, I will go home to the Father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, it's the heart of this father, he ran to his son, he embraced him, and he kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. See, there's someone here today that don't feel worthy to have a relationship with God. You don't feel worthy to be called a daughter of the King. You don't feel worthy to be called a son of the Most High God. You don't feel worthy because of something you did in your past. And you know what? You don't feel like God has any compassion, any love, any care for you. I believe that if that is you today, that God set you in the seat and put you online on purpose because he has greatness in store for you. And though you may feel like, you know what, that you are at the end of yourself and you can never become better, but oftentimes this is where people have to get in order for God to do amazing things in their life. The Bible says this in verse 23, the father said, to the servants, quick. Bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him, get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And go ahead and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now he has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Meanwhile, everybody say meanwhile. The older son, the other of the two sons, which represents a whole different group of people. The older son was in the field working, and when he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, "What is going on? Your brother is back," he was told, "and your father has killed the fattened calf, and we are celebrating because of his safe return." The older brother was angry. He was bitter. He was upset. He was angry, and he wouldn't go in. And his father came out and begged him. But he replied, "All of these years I've slaved for you. I've been proving my worth to you." You know, it's funny. One thought he was proving his worth to the father, and the other didn't feel like he had any worth for the father. But it didn't change the heart of the father. The father loved them both the same. And the Bible goes on to say this, but he replied, "All of these years I've slaved. You know what? And in all this time, you never gave me even one goat for a feast with my friends. Yet, when this son of yours comes back, after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf." His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours." And it goes on to say this, "We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead, and he has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found." The central theme of this particular story is more about who God is in spite of who we are. Oftentimes we read this story and our focus is on the son who ran away, but this is really a story that Jesus told to reveal why he being God in the flesh, was associating with certain kinds of people. And this is really a story about the heart of God. It's really the story about who God is in spite of who we are. And oftentimes, you know what? We become different kinds of people along life's journey. Sometimes we are in a rebellion phase and we're running from God because something happened in our life. You ever wonder why people run from God? People run from God because of all kinds of things. Sometimes people run from God because they're mistreated by somebody. And they're like, you know what? Because that person mistreated me, then you know what? If they represented God, it happens oftentimes in the church world because a person is supposed to be a representation of who God is. They belong to the local church and they mistreat somebody. Let me just share with you. They're all humans. And oftentimes humans do mistreat other humans. And there is no human that is God. And if your focus is beginning to think that a human is who God is, then your focus is completely wrong. Because God is not a human. God can make that human better, but if you are so running from God because someone mistreated you and you're mad at God, maybe God needs to speak to you today and say, come to your senses. Oftentimes people are mistreated and they blame the mistreatment that happened in their life, that they blame God for that mistreatment. When that wasn't God at all, it was just another human making a mistake and mistreating you. Oftentimes people run from God because something happens in their life that they don't understand. The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. And we don't understand everything that happens in life. It doesn't mean we don't seek to understand. It doesn't mean we don't try to understand, but there's just some things in our finite mind that we cannot grab hold of and understand. I don't understand everything that happens in life. I don't understand sometimes when I do good things, I'm treated bad. But the reality of it is that's what happens in life. Life itself isn't always fair. But the God of the universe is always just. Listen to me. And he will always see that justice is served if you don't run from him, but you come to him even though life has been unfair to you. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In other words, the troubles and trials of this world have the potential to build our faith in trusting God, or they have the potential to tear us down so we never trust God. And really what God is looking from every single human being is this thing called trust. He wants you to trust him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not based on circumstances, just based on who he is. Circumstances and challenges happen. And oftentimes people run away from the Creator because something happened and they're running because they're simply afraid. Many times people run from the Creator because of shame and guilt. In other words, they did something and they know it was wrong. They know it was sinful. They know they missed the mark of God's glorious standard. They know that they missed. And because they missed, they don't feel like God is a God of forgiveness. God is a God who can make them whole again. And so they run from God out of guilt, out of shame. And oftentimes they run from God because they think that they know what's best and their Creator doesn't know what's best. Anybody ever been there before? God, I got this. Come on. I don't need you in this circumstance, in this situation. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody today, but I'm talking to myself. Because the reality of it is I have stepped away from God numerous times in my life and like, you know what, God, I got this. And then I end up like the son who God gave him everything he needed or everything he wanted in order to show him what he needed. See, that's what happens a lot of times in life, isn't it? Is God will oftentimes give you what you want so you can see what you need. It's exactly what the father did in the story. The boy said, I want my inheritance now. Give it to me now. And the father says, okay, you want it now. You're not prepared to use it properly. But you want it now, I'll give it to you now. But you're going to get to a place where you realize whether you got my stuff or don't have my stuff. You need me in the midst of the stuff. Let me share it this way. Oftentimes, God will give you the blessing. But if your life can't sustain the blessing, you're going to waste that blessing away. You're going to find yourself on your knees like the one son in the story, and you just wanted the blessing from God, but God says you wanted the blessing and you don't want me. I'll give you the blessing so that you know that you need me. See, many of us have squandered and wasted away the blessing that God bestowed upon us. We gotten to the end of ourselves. And those blessings aren't really producing, you know, what we thought they would produce for us. And what we're really beginning to recognize is the blessings wasn't given to us to produce for us. It's okay to live in the blessing, but the blessings were given to us so that we could begin to make the heart of the Father known to those around us. God always blesses us so that. Slap your neighbor and say, so that. It's a purpose clause that threads all of Scripture. Abram, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing and make my name great. God bestows his blessings on men, women, boys, and girls alike so that his name can be made great. He blesses a church so that his name can be made great. I'm talking about with tangible and intangible things. But my friends, oftentimes we squander those blessings away and we find ourselves running away from God. And if that is you today, I'm going to invite you to become better and not continue to run away with a rebellious heart like the first son in the story did. The second son in the story, if you remember, he became a bitter. He became bitter because the father had basically shared the inheritance. If you go back into the story, he didn't just give the inheritance to one son. The Bible says he split the inheritance between the two sons. He was at home and he had gotten his portion of the inheritance, but he was upset and the way the father was responding to the one who had wasted the inheritance away, and he couldn't understand why the father would love that son whenever he had been at home all of his life, proving his worth. But why would the father love an unworthy son in his eyes? Because he's been proving his worth to the father. And jealousy got into his heart, and bitterness got into his heart towards his brother, towards the other person, because he felt like the father was being favorable to one and not to him. However, the father's favor was still on his life and in his life, but he was missing the favor of God because he was too busy looking at how the father was responding to his brother. My friends, this happens oftentimes in life. It makes our heart become bitter towards God. In other words, we become jealous because God's doing something in somebody's life that we don't feel like it deserves it. We know that person. Well, guess what? They know you too. But the reality of it is we're all sinners and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. And we're all unworthy and none of us are worthy for him to step into our life and bless our life and revive our life. But the reality of it is we can become jealous and we can become bitter because God is loving someone around us that we don't feel like deserves it. See, the thing is unforgiveness in your heart will begin to make you bitter and you can't become better. I want to encourage you today, if you're bitter towards God because he was good to another person, to just take it, look at your own self. And why has God been good towards you? Is it simply because you've been performing and you're doing better than somebody else? Well, see, you're comparing yourself to other people, where in reality, we were created in the image of God and we've all missed God's glorious standard and his amazing love. And we need to stop looking and comparing sin to other people who have missed the mark. And we need to compare our life to a good, good father and realize that we've missed the mark too with our own heart. Again, these guys are mad at Jesus because he's associating with a certain group of people. And in reality, they're upset with him and they're not understanding that Jesus didn't just come to associate with them people. He came to associate with them too. And they're missing the heart of God. And my friend, I don't know, maybe the joy of the Lord is in your heart and you're, you know, happy-go-lucky in the joy of the Lord today. But I'm here to tell you today that bitterness and rebellion can either make us run from God or make us begin to have a heart that doesn't understand that God is our provider and we try to prove ourselves over and over again. And if you fit in either one of those sides of the story today, what God wants you to hear, no matter who you are, he wants you to hear his heart. We're here as a church not to share how awesome we are. We're here as a church to share the good news about how awesome our Creator is. And we're pretty awesome because our Creator is awesome. But everybody can begin to enjoy the greatness of God in their life and God's perfect plan for their life if they will hear his heart. Hear his heart. Hear the Father's heart. He is not against you. He is totally for you. My friends, the reason he stepped into a world, he stepped out of heaven and stepped into a sinful world, a broken world, a bitter world, is simply he wanted to provide a better life for you and me. And he wants us to understand how to connect to him in a relationship. And my friend, if you don't understand the Father's heart, this story reveals the heart of the Father. And the first thing I wrote down, four quick things. If you're bitter today or you're broken, I want you to understand that God is looking for you. He is not pointing his finger at you. You don't have to keep running. You don't have to keep hiding. You don't have to continue to be jealous and bitter in your heart towards the Father, because he is looking for you. He is not pointing his finger at you. Notice in the story, when the wasteful son begins to return home, the Bible says this in Luke 15, verse 20, and while the son was still a long ways off, the father saw him coming. He saw him coming. What that means, he had his eyes open. What that means is the father was standing at the doorway or at the windowsill every day looking down the driveway, and he was looking for his son to return because of his amazing love, and he's gazing out, looking, looking, looking. And God hasn't stopped today. He is looking from the window of heaven. He sent Jesus into this world at this time and in this stage, not to condemn the world, but the Bible says in John 3:17 to say, the world. And he's looking for you to come home to the Creator. He's not sitting on a throne, totally upset with you. The Bible says he will come one day and justice will be served. And all of those who don't faithfully return to him and his amazing love he displays through the cross and the blood and the resurrection of Jesus. The Bible says that then he'll come and judge sin, and he will put it away in the abyss, all the things that are not of God. My friend, he's not pointing his finger at you. He's madly in love with you. And I want you to understand, this is the heart of the Father. This is the heart of the Creator. The second thing I wrote down, not only is he looking for you, he has compassion on you right where you are. Compassion. You know, the word compassion literally means this, come with passion. Let me say it again. It means come with passion. Did you know that's what Jesus did? He came with great passion. He pushed through the pain of the cross. He pushed through all the ridicule, all the shame, all the guilt, all the hatred, all the misunderstanding. Jesus pushed through all of those things. And the Bible says he came with great passion, great compassion. And when he looked at people wandering around like sheep without a shepherd, it says in Matthew chapter 9 that Jesus had deep compassion on them. And he turns to his disciples and he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are a few. And literally says he's moved with great compassion because people are wandering around without any leadership, any shepherding in their life. And Jesus understands, and he has great compassion. If you don't know the heart of the Father, he'll meet you right where you are, my friend. It's why he come from heaven to earth. And Jesus is revealing something about the Father's heart and about his heart to some people who misunderstood him because he was associating with anybody and everybody. My friend, no matter who you are, your Creator has compassion on you. And he has an invitation. Would you come home? Next, I wrote this down. If you step towards him, he'll run towards you. If you step towards him by faith, the Father will run towards you and embrace you right where you are. But see, you gotta have faith in his amazing love. You gotta have faith in his incredible grace. You gotta believe he is for you and not against you, no matter what you have done, where you have been, or how much you have served. Again, it's not based on who you are or what you do. It's all about who he is and his heart, and he comes to you and he meets you at any place in life if you would so dare have faith and believe in him. And the Bible says this as in Luke 15, verse 20. Let's unpack the heart of the Father one more time. And while the boy was still a long ways off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son. He embraced him, kissed him, and his son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I've missed the mark of your glorious standard." That's what we refer to in the church world as repentance. Turning away from sinning towards God and turning your heart back towards God. And he says, "I'm no longer worthy of being called your son." And as he runs, as he steps towards the Father runs towards him. The son didn't feel worth, but the Father is saying, "You're worth everything to me. I embrace you right where you are." My friend, God isn't waiting for you to clean up your life before you return to him and step towards him and his amazing love. He will meet you right where you are, and he will take you down the path. He will embrace you with great compassion. He will embrace you and coach you all the way along life's journey, but it all starts with you grabbing hold and having faith in his amazing love. And the Bible says God is looking. He's not pointing. He has great compassion. He runs towards the son when the son steps towards him. And the last thing God wants you to know, whether, you know what, you've been serving all your life and trying to prove yourself and you're bitter at everybody, whether you've been running from God and you've been wasteful at everything, the Bible says basically that God celebrates with this broken son and begs the other son to come into the celebration. So I wrote this down. God wants to celebrate your life of significance that he has in store for you. It's amazing to me, because really what God's doing is he's inviting both sons to be a part of the family, to not just serve as a servant or a slave, but to be a part of the amazing family, to do their part, to celebrate, to work together as a family, but not to basically just serve because, you know, I got to do something. No, I serve because God has done something to my heart. I know he's for me. I know he's not against me. I know he's for you. You know, and again, both sons, God is begging them to understand the Father's love. And this is what it says in Luke 15, verses 22 through 24. His father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe into the house, and you need to put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. I need you to kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead. He was dead. He didn't have the meaning of life in his heart. He was dead, and now he has returned to life. He was lost, he was straying, but now he's found." The Bible says, so the party began. The finest robe was the father's robe. The ring meant that you belong to a person of great authority. The sandals meant that you were a son and not just a slave. The calf was the most prized celebration one could ever have. And what God is saying to a lot of us in here today is, you know what? I have great compassion on you. In your brokenness, in your bitterness, would you allow me to robe you with the finest robe? Would you allow me to put a ring on your finger because now you belong to one of great authority? Would you allow me to slide a set of sandals on your feet because you're not a slave? You belong to my family. Would you allow me to throw a great party and celebration over you because you come home, you came back to the Father's heart, and you know who God has created you to be? Would you allow that to happen in your life? And my friend, I don't know where you are today. I don't know what happened to you this week. I don't know who was unfair to you, who misunderstood you. I don't know how far you've strayed away from God, but what I do know is the reason Jesus came and associated with anybody and everybody was simply so you could see the heart of your Creator and your Father and step into a relationship with Him. And my friend, He is the visible image of the invisible God, is what the Scripture says. And the question is, do you see that great love? And how will you respond to His amazing love? Will you continue to sit and not come home to the Father? Will you continue to wonder what everybody else is thinking about you? Will you continue to just not run towards your Father and be faithful towards Him and be a part of His great family? Or are you going to continue to be bitter? Are you going to continue to not be better? You're going to continue to be broken and not come home. My friend, God sent His one and only Son on the cross as an invitation. He resurrected from a grave to show you His amazing power. And He has more power over anything that has power in your life if you would so dare to have faith and believe in Him. I'm not making a promise to you today that in this world you won't have trouble. But I am making a promise to you today that no matter what trouble comes your way, your Father will never leave you nor forsake you if you will trust in Him. He'll walk with you every step of the way. He's a good, good God, and He's a good Heavenly Father. How will you respond to the invitation that God wants to give to your heart today? Can you bow your heads, please? God, You're an amazing Father. And Father, as we reach out with Your word today to inspire broken and bitter people, God, those who need to become better and step into a right relationship with You, God, we offer Your invitation to them. It's Your word. And my friend, if you're sitting there today and God's speaking to your heart and you need to come home and put your faith and trust in a Jesus who came and gave His life on a cross, resurrected from a grave, this is your moment. All you have to do is step towards the Father and He'll run towards your heart. Right where you sit today, maybe you want to pray something like this. Say, God, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of being bitter. And today, God, I need to come home to You through Christ Jesus. Say, Father, I believe in Your love. I believe in Your compassion. And I have faith that You are for me and not against me. So God, I turn away from running. I turn away from a sinful lifestyle. I turn away from being bitter and jealous and all the unforgiveness I harbor in my heart. And today I turn toward Your great love. Ask God to wash you, to cleanse you, to forgive you, and make you whole and new again. My friend, if you said that prayer today, I want to say welcome home. Welcome home to the Father's house. Welcome home to the family of God. And God wants to celebrate you. If you're sitting in the seat today and you prayed that prayer by faith, I would love to know about it. And how I want to let you respond to the Father's love today is simply in a moment. When I ask you to stick your hand in there, I invite you just to stick your hand in the hair, just as a response to say, God, today is the day I'm trusting You. I'm putting my faith in You. This is just a way for you to say, God, I'm one that prayed that prayer today. I'm one that stepped back towards You today. And my friend, if that is you, when I ask you at the end of three to stick your hand in the air, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do anything crazy or stupid. It's just a way to say, today is the day of my salvation. Today is the day I trusted the Lord. One, two, three. Wherever you are in this room, praise God. God, we pray for these people today that said they're stepping into that relationship. They're coming back home today. And God, I pray You would encourage them, You would motivate them, and God, You would sustain them on their journey. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.